Wellness will come to order for the purpose of an informational meeting. Representative Tomei is not here today. She's still working on feeling a little bit better. She'll be back with us later today. And she has asked us to work together to brainstorm about our work plan for the interim and what we would like to work on in the interim. At your places, and Andy emailed to us last night a compilation of recommendations that we've gotten from the advocates, many of the folks that are sitting here. These are ideas, and there are a lot of good ideas, but if people are looking at them, don't panic. If your issue isn't here, that doesn't mean that it is not important. There are some extra pieces in here that came after Andy sent the email yesterday, and we also have a piece here from the DD Coalition. And before we start going through those, Representative Kotek has brought to us some of the budget notes that are going into the DHS budget, which specify things that need to be monitored by interim committees, and it seemed worthwhile that we should know what those are.
Thank you, Chair Gelser. Yes, in fact, we're getting copies for everybody on the committee, but I'll just run. There were apparently many, many budget notes that the co-chairs committed, considered. We came out of the subcommittee with 10 yesterday. Some of these might will be more applicable to the healthcare committee, but the ones that I thought that we might want to at least know about so we can have some synergy and collaboration on with the e-board as they go through the interim. There was one on TANF, which I've seen on some of the other lists. There's a budget note talking about the department reporting back, the department continuing to look at how the program redesign is functioning, as well as consider potential program improvements. And as you recall, we talked about a lot of things that because of budget issues we didn't include in the package. So there's going to be some work on that. The second budget note is around integrated delivery system. This is integrating physical and behavioral health in managed care plans for the Oregon Health Plan. So that one might be more applicable to the health care committee. Senate Bill 328, which is Psychiatric Security Review Board and juveniles, and I believe this is the one we passed yesterday, right?
Yes.
On developmental disabled juveniles. That might be something we want to keep our eyes on. There's a couple budget notes on the Oregon State Hospital, not only ongoing costs, but also the building of the new facilities. And if we're going to potentially have a focus on mental health, we might want to keep the state hospital in our sights here for this committee. There's a budget note on the Department of Human Services and the Department of Transportation working together to look at how we can have more stable funding for elderly and disabled transportation. There's a budget note for senior and people with disabilities around long-term planning, long-term care planning, and acuity of care models. So the whole long-term care system issue is really something they want, from a budget perspective, to be looked at harder in relationship to the recommendations on the future of long-term care, which is a report that came out this year. There's a budget note around managed care organizations and hospitals and them working their cost arrangements out. There's a study of type A and B hospital reimbursement. There's a budget note on health disparities, which might be a health care committee issue, but it's about looking at the health disparities around racial and ethnic lines here in the state and what that's costing us. And the last one is the state hospital. So of the ones that are on here that might be most applicable to us, probably TANF, long-term care, maybe the senior and disabled transportation services, and SB 328 on the Psychiatric Security Review Board.
Thank you. Any comments on budget notes? Jean?
Could we have a copy?
Callen?
So my assumption is these will come out of the full committee on the budget, or the DHS budget.
Callen?
Thank you. I'm particularly pleased to see the senior and people with disabilities long-term planning and budget note. You know, many of us have been involved with the discussion of elder care and senior services in general, and I think that's something that the only reason I bring it up at this point is that I want to throw into our conversation how to coordinate that, because there's also been the conversation, as several of you know, going on with Sarah Morissette about the desire for a joint work group, interim, whatever the right term is. That's a very big interest to me to pursue that conversation. So I'm glad that it's included in the overall discussion, and I think this committee needs to figure out where this committee might fall into that conversation and where we might work jointly with perhaps some folks from the Senate as well.
Follow up on that,
Representative Cowan.
Yeah, I was just wondering, Representative Cowan, do you have any specific, because it's a very big topic, and I'm trying to get my head around, are there particular topics in
yes.
the seniors, people with disabilities section that we might, out of this budget note, that make the most sense? And I don't know if that's looking at certain types of long-term care and where they're going in terms of facility issues, or I don't know. I was just wondering if you had any ideas specifically.
Mm-hmm. The focus of the conversation, from my perspective, needs to be in two areas that deal with kind of the mid-range care needs, community-based service levels, the AAAs, the senior services in each of our communities. There's some equity issues and an ability to provide more care, more in-home care kind of things will extend people's ability to stay at home. That's one big piece of that conversation. And the second is the rates in what I also term the mid-level care facilities, specifically assisted living facilities and adult foster care, that we need to make our rates a little more comparable to stem this tide of moving away from a willingness to care for Medicaid individuals because of the divergence in cost or reimbursement between the private pay world and the Medicaid world. And so I see those as kind of generically fairly large, but areas where we need to really focus is that community-based care system that we need to enhance in order to continue to reduce the reliance on the nursing home, very expensive piece of the care system, mm-hmm. and providing folks of a variety of income eligibility ranges and oftentimes minimal assistance that's needed to stay in your homes or a less restrictive care setting.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'd like to focus the energies.
Thanks. Well, I think the whole community-based care concept, and where we've been as a leader in the state in different delivery systems, are all having issues, whether it's mental health or, well, senior, and the senior services has been one of our primary areas where we've actually been successful, but we've lacking in recent years, and in the mental health area, you know, there's been a lot of concern. So, I mean, maybe that broader topic of community-based care, whether it's whatever service delivery system it is, might be a good way to frame those topics.
They tie together very well. And we need to do a little more focus on the geriatric mental health issues as well in that broader range of mental health care, because there are some differences from the general population, but it's a it's an area that we're lacking in attention at this point. And we have been absolutely a leader, but we are slipping at this point. And financially, it's an area that we've got to focus on, because the demographics tell us really clearly where the needs of our population are going to be, and we need to continue to explore the best ways to meet those needs in an economical manner.
Mm-hmm.
Are there other thoughts either on the budget notes or senior service issues that we might want to address in the interim specifically? Well, before we go through the list, I wanted to give members an opportunity to raise some issues that you're thinking we should be addressing in the interim that maybe you haven't had the chance to email in yet.
Well, I think, if I may, Representative, the one that's, and I think we have some great lists here. Probably I think the challenge will be paring them down.
Mm-hmm.
But keeping an eye on what the healthcare committee might be working on, I think where we might step up is really on some of the mental health issues. I thought the presentations we had, those informationals we had in joint with the Senate were very helpful. We had the state hospital issue, but it's back to the community-based care issues that we're dealing with, particularly interested in children's mental health issues. One of the things that got left off on the budget notes was going back to delivery system, how we're paying some of our providers, what are some of the delivery system issues around reimbursement, and I was actually hoping to see a budget note around children's mental health services, and if we have time later, there's some folks here who could speak to that particular area. We have individuals who, we have a group of stakeholders who are willing to pay for a study to look at, a market rate study of this, what we're trying to deliver in the state and what we're paying for it and what some of the challenges are. And I'd like to see that for all of our systems, the AAAs, the DD, everybody having that kind of available data. But it'd be nice for us to provide some oversight for that committee, that report that's probably going to happen, because the Children's Alliance, the Alliance of Children's Program has offered to pay for that study, for that system, for children's mental health, residential treatment. And I think the department's going to work with them on it, but it would be good to have some legislative oversight on that. So that's a particular mental health issue, but I think mental health in general, we have to have bigger investments next session if we can, and it would be nice to have some policy discussion now about where we want to go.
And I think on that same topic, where we're talking about children's mental health, really mental health generally, mm-hmm. looking at that place where developmental disabilities and mental health intersect and trying to do a better job of wrapping around some of these individuals that have multiple mm-hmm. challenges that lead to some of the issues that we talked about yesterday in regards to the juvenile PSRB.
Yep.
Following along that line in terms of interconnecting, if we need to look at the addiction treatment end of things too, and the dual diagnosis issues, not so much in the children's world, thankfully, but in the adult world of mental health care, we've tended to be so siloed, and we do mental health treatment and we do addictions treatment, and they intersect. We were having that conversation actually just at dinner last night with some of the judicial system folks and some conversation around the world of public health, public safety. I'm not really tracking this morning. Public safety and the judicial system and the interconnectivity between the mental health issues that we're seeing there and the addictions. Mm-hmm. And I we need to quit separating them and find better ways to pull them together.
I agree.
Representative Maurer, did you have issues that were not on the list that you think would be worthwhile to explore this interim?
No, I don't have additional items. I think the issue is going to be paring it down. And I think we're going to be better served to be more focused rather than a shotgun blast. And so I would like to see us focus.
Were there things on the list that, if you were going to focus or pare down, that...
Are there things on the list?
We have so many things that are on the list, and I think you're right. There's no way to do all of them.
The budget notes clearly give us an initial guidance. Then the other issues are senior services, and I'm going to be doing some work with mental health, particularly looking at how we're dealing with Southern Oregon, and this is as a result of the placement of the state hospital and in Salem and in Junction City, and how Southern Oregon is going to fit into that larger picture, because there was some thought that the Southern Hospital could have been in Roseburg or Medford or Justin mm-hmm. County, and so we have to revisit that, and the issues now are a little different because of distance. So that will be a focus, but The list can be endless. It's where are we going to focus? And let's focus on things that we think we really can change instead of focus on things that we just like to beat up because we can find lots of that. I'm sorry I didn't give you a very good answer.
No, that's... I think that Representative Tomei really just wanted us to have mm-hmm. a general discussion. She is working with Andy on developing a very focused work plan to deliver to the speaker to guide the course of our work in the interim, and I think she's just wanting to be sure that what she puts together is relevant to those of us that are going to be here, important to each of us, and that we're providing that feedback to her so that she's confident that as she's moving forward... she has a good agenda for all of us to come back and work on together. So are there other thoughts?
Well, I was
I have a question for Andy, if I may. Did Chair Tomei give you any sense of, I guess I'm focusing on the women's wellness side of the conversation. I think any of the human service issues we work on, for example, TANF, there are a lot of women in TANF. There are a lot of women who, you know, survive their husbands and are in seniors. I mean, it, you know, the women's issues, I think, cuts across all of human services. But I thought the suggestions around domestic violence and sexual assault were very focused, things that, good ideas that didn't go forward during the session that we might want to just keep front and center so they're ready to go next session. I thought that was a really good list. But I didn't know if there were any, if she wanted to see a particular focus in human services around women's issues or if she's just looking for a broad. I don't know if she brought that up.
Yeah, I think from my understanding she still doesn't, at this opportunity doesn't want to take things off. But I mean, mm-hmm. some of the things that I just relinked, some of her things that were directly from her, the wellness issues around the workplace, so whether it be health and obesity issues, but instead of, of course, that would include women, but more workplace focus for wellness and obesity and that issue. And then she was also noted a particular issue, some of the oversight of nurses. There's been some recent coverage on licensing, so it's a kind of a discrete issue.
Which on that particular case, I know that Representative Greenlick is also interested on some of the board and licensing issues, so
right.
I would not be surprised if that was something the Healthcare Committee took up.
Well, you probably can talk to it just as well, is that he has several board issues. One is investigation of providers and what else, Tina?
Blanking. This one I know was something he had also talked about, too.
And there's clearly, let's not overlap, because Tina and Ryan.
Yeah.
Several of us are on the healthcare.
So
I think some of the board
anyway.
Issues or the board licensing type issues, I bet, would, if we're looking for things that we can take off the list, that might be one of them. So.
Well, the assumption is that we're still on these committees during the interim.
Right, that's
because
the
Tina, you may get kicked off our
own. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I think the assumption also is that both of those committees, both of these committees will continue.
Yeah.
And
hopefully.
I'm not sure the design of the committee structure in the interim has been finalized yet. Does anybody have any more insight than I on that?
I think we'll know more in a couple of weeks.
I think the hope is to have the more continuity than there has been in the past. I think that's also going to depend on people's schedule and things like that, who can actually participate. My understanding is interims meet maybe once every other month, or maybe they'll meet more, but
I suspect they may meet more if we're having another session
in February.
Sure.
Well, I think another issue that's important to the chair, if she was here, is probably to raise the issue of gambling addictions and to look at where the gambling treatment money is going and what some of the best practices are in treating gambling addictions. Another conversation that we have had has to do structurally with where in the body child welfare issues go. Foster care, child protective services, adoption, and there's been, you know, a pool. There's a piece of that that's judiciary, and there's a lot of that that is really human service and human relationships. And I think that we've had some of those things come to this committee this session. I think that there has been some interest expressed in having more of that come this direction, and it might be worthwhile to have a more in-depth overview of some of those systems so that this committee is prepared in the next session to have more of those issues coming before us.
I think that's an excellent idea. I think on some of the lists that were on here, I think the distinction of what's going to be covered by judiciary and what we might work on, I guess I would see our role as providing that oversight and continuing conversation with the department around how services are delivered. There have been some questions raised about the new Oregon safety model, which is in place to provide more uniform procedures and processes around child protective services. And I know there's been some questions. And so in terms of asking questions about how the department is rolling out some of their new processes, I think is a good role for us. I think some of the judiciary type things of more what I see is more technical statutory. I don't know if that's, I mean, they overlap, but
they overlap. I think one of the places that we had this conversation, we passed a very good bill a few weeks ago that had to do with open adoption and ongoing contact after adoption. There's certainly a statutory issue related to that because it's written in the law and it has to do with contracts, but it's also a very large human service issue if we look at how, I mean, what that human service policy is that surrounds that around public adoptions. So it's those kinds of places where there's the pull.
Question.
Yes.
I'm just thinking out loud here, but I'm wondering if in the interim process where there's a little bit of flexibility with meeting times, might it be helpful for, assuming committees are in the same structure, for this committee to meet jointly with the Judiciary Committee and the respective departments and maybe talk through some of these issues to see if we could divide and focus the workload a little bit? Because I know there's a great deal of interest from members of the Judiciary Committee in this arena, too, rather than each of us separately trying to decide which ones are the most important issues. It might be an interesting joint conversation.
And following up on that with maybe a little more time in the interim in terms of scheduling, I'm planning to do some visits with different types of workers to figure out what exactly is happening in some of the offices. I think I know enough to be dangerous, but I don't really understand completely what is happening. And so we might want to be able to set those up as a committee to spend some time with some of the caseworkers. And we could pick whatever area we want, but I'm wondering if that's helpful to actually just sit down and in the offices and talk with folks.
Yes. Andy, what would the process be to do that in the interim, even if we weren't going in groups, to have members visiting with some of these frontline workers?
I think it could be very flexible, and I think the departments would accommodate your schedules. It could be in small groups or it could be individuals. I don't think that would be difficult to do at all.
Yeah. And we don't have to do it in Portland.
No, we could do it in our district.
Right.
No,
I think it would be important to spend some, the proverbial ride-along time with some caseworkers in our areas, and I would hope that the department would be open to that and would help us facilitate that.
Although I would say, for me personally, since we address these issues statewide and a lot of times we end up meeting here and talking about it's this way in my district and this way there, I would be very interested in comparing and visiting with a frontline worker in a community like mine and coming to a more rural area and then going to an area like Portland. I think that would help me better understand the differences and the challenges in having statewide policies when we have so many differences.
I'd like some clarity in truly, I guess I'm speaking to Andy at this point, the best way to facilitate that rather than each of us, trying to figure out who to call or... I'm just interested in this way to make that happen. I think I agree with you that I'd like to look at different areas.
Well, I know that in previous interims they've had committees do this, so it's probably a matter of talking with the department. I also know that the union's always happy to also set up appointments, and you might want to do both because the group you might have from the department might be different from the line workers that the union might organize, perhaps. But it might be not. It might be very much in sync. So maybe we all have homework. If we're not able to visit everyone's districts, maybe we all go with the same set of, you need to visit X, Y, and Z by this date, and then we all come back and talk about it. That's one way to do it. I'd like to do the travel. If you're inviting us all out to the coast,
absolutely.
Pick a date, right? So,
are there any other topics people would like to hit on before we adjourn for the day?
I was wondering if Andy had any comments about, Andy, Representative Olson, about the law enforcement mental health topic that you're going to be pursuing, if that's something. I was thinking about one particular, the bill that you had. So.
Yeah, I see that it's not going anywhere right now over on the Senate side. I mean, it passed out of the committee over there, but it's kind of in limbo. And even if that doesn't make it, as a task force through this building this year, I'm just going to go ahead and put together a work group, and we're going to, we need to do something with that. And I think that we've targeted enough folks where to go and everything, what to do with that. So there's another area, too, that I think would be interesting in exploring, and Representative Gilliam's not here, but I don't know, Ron, did you mention that? Or, excuse me, Representative Maurer, about... The idea, and I don't know if I shared it with the chair, but it deals with peer court. Silverton has a model that they've started a couple of years back dealing with juveniles for peer court. And they have, it has really turned out to be an excellent program and has been very efficient and effective over there. And I thought it would be kind of interesting to just explore that maybe during the interim, during a meeting or something, bringing a bunch of folks in and listening to testimony, that type of thing, to hear how effective it's been, because I am familiar with about three different ones around the state, to see how we could reach out throughout the state and maybe use their model to get some other kids across the state on track.
Lincoln County also has a very active teen court program that's been in place for better than 10 years, because it started somewhere midway through my terms in office with a ODOT grant initially. That's been very successful. So there certainly are some examples of programs that are working well.
Well, and that reminds me that there's a budget note, I believe, in, maybe Department of Corrections budget. It came out of the Public Safety Subcommittee on Ways and Means. It's the one that talks about, I think there's going to be a work group looking at what programs are effective on the preventive end of keeping individuals out of the correction system. I'm blanking on, but it would be good for us to see that budget note, because it kind of overlaps with some of the prevention issues that we might be interested in, and be curious to know what they plan to do with that and whether or not, because we don't want to, you know, double duty, and if we are going to want to be the same thing, maybe we want to meet jointly or have some kind of coordination. I'm blanking on the, but it was a very expansive budget note about what's more cost effective, including early childhood programs, in terms of the long term savings on the, you know, keeping folks out of prison, basically. So it's very interesting.
Do we think we have enough information to filter back to the chair and to provide you with the information you need?
I think so. I think the question is one of limiting the list. So I guess if there's any more input, I know the chair, just for the record, I know the chair is encouraging any input to continue to share your ideas directly with her or with the committee or both, but she doesn't want the conversation necessarily to end, but she wants to, you know, under the direction of the speaker to move the discussion along, but it's not a closed process.
Chair, did you, this is completely up to you, did we want to take any testimony? If anyone had any feedback from what they just heard, I know we're limited, so I raised that very, very hesitantly, but I didn't know if you wanted
to. I think that the instruction that I had gotten from the chair was to have, she really wanted a brainstorm among members to make sure that we all had seen all of the great information that all of you have sent, which has been wonderful and very, very descriptive. And she wanted to be clear that this was a brainstorming session. This isn't a decision-making process here at all.
That's my understanding. That's what you're
okay. So is her plan then to have another list and then we look at it some more?
I think she'll probably have additional conversations with you as she finalizes some input to the speaker's office. So that's my understanding.
And just for those who might not have known, the speaker has been asking for input, so this is part of the process. So.
And so thank you again to all of you. There is a lot of information here that's very, very helpful. And if there's nothing further, we are adjourned.